Good morning, everyone. It's me, your favorite friend, someone who brightens up your morning every day. That's right. It's Sharifa Hardy. And do I have a very special show for you today? I'm claiming right now that this show is going to be the most special show I've done in at least a while, because our guests are so interesting and entertaining that I know they're just going to blow you away. So go ahead and grab your pens, grab your papers, grab whatever it is that you need to be able to take notes, because you don't want to miss out on anything. And while we're discussing missing out, you already know. You already know what I ask you to do every morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's right. Go ahead and wake your friends. Wake them up. Tell them to get up, because the Roundtable Talk Show is on. If you have to text them or tweet them or call them or inbox them, go over to your neighbor's house who's trying to sleep nice and peacefully. Wake them up. It's time to get up and enjoy the show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Dr. Ashi Bondawad, who is, she has so many hats. I'm impressed. An entrepreneur, a scientist. That's right. We have a female scientist on today's show. She's an educator, an advocate for food-based STEM education, and she has founded STEM Chef. Good morning, Dr. Ashi. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's so nice to be here with you. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks. You are so welcome. You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. How does someone get all of those different hats?
So, interestingly enough, the entrepreneurship title came to me because of my daughter. Mm-hmm. I have been a scientist, still am at heart. And this is what happens when you get a three-year-old toddler walking into a bioscientist's kitchen. You turn the three-year-old into a mini scientist. And that is pretty much how I kind of got started on this path. I worked as a bioenergy scientist before, and that was almost, I want to say, 4 years ago. In fact, all my education was catered toward that academia sort of path. And then along came my daughter with, as kids and toddlers would have it, tons of questions, just so curious about everything in the world. And what we don't realize, what I didn't realize myself, is that we kind of, you know, numb ourselves to those questions, that real curiosity. We kind of have them say, oh, it's just because it is, or you're going to learn about that at school later. For whatever reason, and I'm so thankful for that, I actually took her very, very baby-like questions seriously. Like, for example, what does a train eat? Or why are clouds so puffy? I mean, those are very normal questions. But then if you see them from a scientist's perspective, they have a grounding. They have actual explanation in very logical thinking. And that is what I sort of leveraged. And long story short, I ended up making a lot of started making a lot of mess in the kitchen. She started learning legitimate scientific foundational concepts. And that's kind of how the whole educator and the entrepreneur in me was born.
I think that's beautiful, because it's kind of similar to my situation. You know, I've done a lot of different things, ran for Long Beach City Council, built my first website in 1994, but it all started because I was a mom at 18, didn't want anyone else to take care of my baby. And so I was like, you know what, I have to figure out a way. So it's that drive from our families that sometimes can take us on roads and journeys we would never have imagined. So tell us, from the three-year-old making a mess in the kitchen, you know, because it's always amazing when I love listening to people's stories and they make it sound like, oh, okay, she was making a mess. Now I have a business. You know, I'm like, okay, but how did you make that leap from she was making a mess to STEM Chef?
So I'm going to give you an example, because I think that's what's really helpful to understand instead of generically telling you the path. So this was a time when she was about three and a half, and kids, I don't know why, but they're so resistant to having a bath. So her bath water was drawn, and it was getting cold, and I was telling her, like pushing her to go. It's like, why do I need to go? Because the bath water is going to turn cold. why does it turn cold? So, I mean, that was a point where I could have just said, just because it does. Mm-hmm. But again, like one of those moments where I decided to teach her the principles of thermodynamics, mm-hmm. of the heat transfer that happens from the water to the air. By the way, guilty, I'm a chemical engineer. I don't really think like one 24/7. It was like a 24 seconds in a year that I actually thought like one. But that moment, I kind of took a bunch of candies and compared them to heat energy. Mm-hmm. And I told her, if I have 10 and you have 0, will you be happy? She's like, no. And then vice versa. She's like, I'd be happy, but mommy, I don't think you would be happy. And to be fair, I have to give her the credit that she's a very fair child. So I asked her, when is it that we're both going to be happy? And she can split it, you know, one for you, one for me, kind of a thing, in a very baby-like manner. And she split it equally with, you know, between us. And I said, that's exactly what happens with the heat and the water and the air above it. That is exactly, candy is the heat. And she got it. And then we started making hot chocolate and like pouring things, making a mess, mm-hmm. but pouring things. And then we got the thermometer out. And you know, these little hacks, if you will, are stepping stones where kids are tethering to something real, which is actually abstract, but it makes very real, tangible sense to them. So things like that started building up. And then she started not only understanding it, but sharing this knowledge with her friends. And she was educating my husband. And I think this occurred for over a couple of years. But then I started noticing she's talking about density. She's talking about solubility. She's talking about chemistry reactions. And I thought this was something real. And that was when I decided that I think I have to accrue all of this and see whether it makes, you know, some legitimate sense having it showcased for some other children outside just my own kitchen and my own child. And I started off really small with summer camps, and it just sort of took off from there.
Oh, I love hearing stories like that. I definitely have more questions. I'm going to be right back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. I was very interested in speaking with him. That's why one of the reasons I'm so glad that he's here, was able to make the show, Mr. David Coney, the only person in the world that has a half a heart that is over 33. He was dead for 6 minutes. He came back to life 4 times, and he is here with us this morning. Good morning, David. How are you? We don't know yet. David, are you with me this morning? No, yes, yes, no.
Maybe so.
Yes, that's the game we're going to play. We don't know what we're going to do with David this morning. He might come, he might not. So I'm going to move on to our next guest, who also has an interesting story. He's into exercise. He's a practitioner, a lifetime mover, and an athlete, Mr. Ben Router. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, somebody can hear me. Like, yes. The small things that make you happy in the morning.
It's the big headphones.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it. Are you standing up, Ben?
I'm actually standing up. I'm also on a wobble board. So if you see me moving around...
What is a wobble board? Is that for exercise?
It's got rubber orbs on the bottom and you stand on it. It's almost like standing on a floating floor.
But does it help you exercise?
Well, they're originally designed for exercise, if anybody's ever sprained an ankle or gone to physical therapy. Mm-hmm. But about 3 or 4 years ago, because of my real job teaching at a university, I teach online. And 3 or 4 years ago, I bought one of these stand-up desks thinking I would alternate between sitting down and standing up. Mm-hmm. And I haven't sat down yet, but I realized standing on a hardwood floor was hard. Mm-hmm. So first I switched to a real wobble board where you could wobble back and forth. But my dog at the time liked to lie underneath my desk so I could with my foot. And I was worried about pinching her nose. So I found on Amazon this wobble board that floats on little air-filled orbs. So that way, if she puts her nose under it, I don't squash her nose.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And it's always so interesting when I ask one question, I get this wonderful explanation I wasn't expecting. Because the reason I asked if you were standing is one of the things that I noticed, and this is me because I pick up weird stuff, is like the podcasters are always standing up. Like even if they're not doing their podcast, they just stand up. They like it's better for the, you know, vocal cords or something. I don't know.
I actually find when I'm on conference calls, if I'm not at home, I find myself standing up and walking around to actually sit down and have a conversation. And I've actually talked to other people, and I know a couple of scientists who use treadmill desks. And what a lot of us have found is if we're going to do really, really complicated work, maybe we sit down or maybe we stand still. But if it's things that require more creative action, we're more likely. Exactly. You keep moving because you're kind of walking around. And I've actually found that in the people that I've interviewed for the podcast, physicians, there's a number of physical medicine physicians that I've interviewed. And they say, you know, sometimes a patient doesn't want to talk to me in the office because, you know, you go to the office, you have that doctor's fear. So they have small practices. So what they do is they'll sometimes take their patient for a walk. So, you know, you're walking, one of them said it's called walk and talk. So, you know, you go and you talk with your patient. And for those of you who have kids or maybe you do counseling, a lot of times what you find is you have these great conversations while moving, because if you're sitting across a desk or across a table, it's almost like the spotlight is on you. But if you're walking, you're looking, hey, look at that bird. So, you know, tell me how you're feeling. And it's kind of like movement is really integrated in the whole life.
So it's a little distraction there. I love it. Tell us about your podcast, Ben.
Well, I have two podcasts. It started out, I was going to have one called Moving to Live, where my goal was to break down knowledge silos in movement. So at the end of the day, any of us who are in movement, and I classify people in movement anywhere from somebody who's a personal trainer all the way up to somebody who's an orthopedic surgeon or a physical medicine physician, just across the spectrum. At the end of the day, we all want one of three things. We want our patients or clients to move more. We want our patients or clients to move better, whether it's more efficiently or better if you're in the rehab or the medical field, better being with less pain. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, and I'm sure this is across the board in other professions, and I hope other people can talk about this, is there's this silo knowledge. So, you know, the physicians want to talk to the physicians, the personal trainers want to talk to the personal trainers, the physical therapists want to talk to the physical therapists. And it's an unusual professional who says, geez, I want to find out more about this. Let me ask somebody outside my profession or my specialty. So you get these little silos, never recognizing at the end of the day that something that somebody who's in the movement field, but not in your practice area says could make a difference. And I can give you a great example. I was fortunate enough when I first started doing Moving to Live to interview a physiologist who was involved with the first Nike project to break 2 hours in the marathon. And he was fascinating. And then about 8 months later, I interviewed a sleep researcher from Australia. And at the end of the interview, we were chatting off camera, which was actually the majority of the talk because I got my sleep evaluated. But he said, hey, can you introduce me to this physiologist? Because I was listening to that podcast and I have some suggestions. I think they ran the race at the wrong time of the day based on circadian rhythms. And I just want to talk to him and maybe I can give him some advice or some recommendations. So I think it's really, that's a great example of taking out the silo. So that was my original one where I interview other professionals. But when I bought all the equipment, I realized I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to use it. And anybody who's involved in technology is probably laughing at me. So I'm not a Pittsburgh native, and I don't know if any of your other guests have been to Pittsburgh, but the big joke in Pittsburgh is we don't like to do anything if you have to cross a bridge or go through a tunnel. Because we're three rivers. And I figured, what if I just go around and interview interesting people in Pittsburgh who make movement a priority? And that way I can learn how to use this equipment. And I can also introduce people in Pittsburgh who say, well, there's no place to do this or there's no place to do that. And I thought that that podcast would go away, but they really are very synchronous. And I've learned all kinds of amazing people in the Pittsburgh area from two guys who have a nonprofit where what they do is they refurbish skateboards and then have projects at various disadvantaged neighborhoods in Pittsburgh where they put on a skateboard workshop and then the kids leave with a skateboard. So it's not just a one and done, they leave with a skateboard. Or a gentleman who has a kayaking business where he It's just he basically fell into it by luck as far as who his main clients are. His main clients are people with physical disabilities. So he's had people out in a kayak who have no arms, no legs, and maybe they kayaked before they had their injuries, or maybe they didn't, but now they can do this because of adaptations. And I think it started out, and I almost feel guilty with the podcast, it started out to break down the knowledge silos and just to give information to other professionals. But I almost feel guilty because at the end of almost every interview, it's like, I got to hang out with somebody and talk to them for an hour and 20 minutes and pick their brains and ask the questions I wanted to ask rather than just read an article that maybe they were interviewed in, or if I go to a conference, see them give their canned 45-minute talk.
You are interesting. I didn't even have any idea when you wrote Lifetime Mover that all of this movement was going to be so interesting. And I think, you know, because I'm in Southern California in Long Beach, and we have a different model. It's kind of like yours. I thought it was going to be the same. Ours is we don't like to do anything. We chill here on the beach. That's what we do. So I thought we were kind of the same. We hang out, we relax. That's what we do. But what makes you a lifetime mover? Were you moving and shaking and doing all these things as a young child?
Well, I was fortunate enough to grow up. I went to, and I'm sure your other guests will laugh, the high school that I graduated from had 19 people in a graduating class.
Wow.
Really small rural school. So anybody who's been involved with anything small, I had the opportunity to do everything. So I grew up on a dairy farm. And when I started to enter middle school and sports, I mean, I played Little League, but sports were involved. My dad said, well, you can pick one sport because I need your help on the farm. And at that time I said, well, I want to play soccer. Mm-hmm. So about halfway through the soccer season, my dad said, you know, it's a small school. You really should support your classmates. You should support the school so you can play basketball. And then about halfway through basketball season, he said the same thing about baseball. So I was not very good. Went to college, and my big joke with college was I was a 2-year junior varsity Division III soccer player, which for anybody who knows anything about athletics, it means I wasn't very good, but I had the opportunity to try. And I just realized I was a physical education major. I liked to move. And when I finally went back to school for my doctorate, that's when I knew I was a lifetime mover. And it was an important priority for me because my mentor told my doctoral advisor when I first started, which I found out after the fact, if Ben's ever a jerk to deal with, tell him to go out for a run or a bike ride because he's a lot easier to deal with when he's exercised for the day. And then just kind of to summarize it all up, I took it for granted. And about 5 or 6, about 7 years ago, I suffered a series of retinal injuries because I have an extremely nearsighted eye. And I had 9 surgeries and 15 procedures over the course of about 3 years for a retinal repair. And all of a sudden, what I took for granted, moving, walking with my dogs, running, going for bike rides, I couldn't do, because for anybody who knows anything about retinal injuries, sometimes with the recovery, they put an air bubble in your eye and you have to hold a position. And about the same time, I had one of my dogs was diagnosed with idiopathic epilepsy. And I asked the physician, or the veterinary neurologist, yes, my dog had a neurologist, what can she do? And she said, whatever she wants to do. So we kind of made it a priority because she loved to walk. She loved to be in the woods. I'm just going to move with her. And I very quickly realized that my sweet spot of movement, if I don't move, whether it's a walk, whether it's a run, whether it's just bouncing up and down on my wobble board for about 45 minutes, most days of the week, I don't feel as good. And it doesn't have to be a hard workout. Maybe it's here in Pittsburgh, if we have snow, maybe it's 45 minutes shoveling snow, but I find I'm more creative. I find I'm more easy to get along with. I'm sure my girlfriend would agree with that. And I'm just an overall happier person. And the more people that I talk to as I interview them for moving to live in FitLab Pittsburgh, whether or not they do organized events where they go to the gym or they don't. For example, I interviewed a lady who says, well, I ballroom dance 2 or 3 times a month and I swim every day and I walk on the treadmill, but I don't really consider myself an active person. So
that's way more than I do. Way more. I need to give me one of those wobble balls, and then I'm gonna put that song "Wobble Baby Wobble" on while I'm wobbling, and then we gonna make this happen. Did we ever get David? Did I lose David? Did I get David? Is David with us? David is kind of scaring me, because David's staring at me, but I can't see if he hears me. No, nothing. Yes. All right, we're going to move forward. We were discussing being creative with Ben. So our next guest, we already know he has a sense of humor because he's just been laughing along and sharing the energy of the show. And he is definitely a creative person. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's an author. We're going to see what's going on in his life. Mr. Vincent Beau. Good morning, Vincent. How are you?
Good, Rising. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am excellent. I'm having a great time today. How are you?
I can't complain. I'm blessed. I'm just taking a step back to see everything that's going on in the world and just processing it as it comes and moving forward like that.
I love it. I love your hair. I just love it. I like that kind of style. It's great. Now, what have you been going through? First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background before I start with the questions.
Yes, indeed. I graduated from Virginia Commonwealth University with a bachelor's degree in exercise science and kinesiology. Immediately after school, I jumped into the profession. So I started working as a physical therapy tech because I wanted to get on a physical therapy track and to become a physical therapist, but it was kind of boring work. I'm not going to lie to you. I was more of an upbeat type of person. Someone who wants to get in there. I want to sweat. I want to get the heavy weights going. And so strength and conditioning was more of the path for me, but I will say that I appreciated the physical therapy side of it because it also allowed me to see both sides. You know, you can be advanced and extreme with the strength and conditioning, but obviously someone in physical therapy, they're working with, shoulder injuries, knee injuries. So you have to kind of scale things back and be a little bit more attentive to them. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a few years. And I had a background as in athletics. I played football, I ran track. And so that's where the passion and the love for sports came from. And then I've always grown up with this love for writing. My dad instilled that in me very early. And going into high school, going into college, I was very, when everyone else was maybe dreading having to write essays, I was the one saying, bring them on, bring me more essays to write. And that carried on to me finally, my last semester of undergrad, I began writing the first book, which is volume one, Faces of Prophecy for the Elite Way series. And it took me about a year to write that. And I remember just working through all of these professions like physical therapy, strength and conditioning. And I didn't feel like I was growing as a person, you know, and there's only so many gyms you can work at, so many movements and exercises you can give. And sitting, I was in Richmond, Virginia at the time. And I remember I was there for a year. So this is after 2015, going 2016, going into 2017. And I'm just thinking, I'm talking to myself. I'm just like, I need to make something happen in my life. And that's when I made the decision to leave Virginia and move to California. And when I did so, it was the craziest time because my family was looking at me like, are you crazy? You don't have any, we don't know anyone out here. But at the same time, it was the faith and, the wherewithal that, everything's going to be okay. And, I'm all right to step out of my comfort zone. So I drove 3 days across the country, just me, a pit bull, and a bunch of
snacks.
Yes. And so, resting at truck stops, I finally got here with no worries. Grace, glory be to God. And I lived in the Bay Area. I worked at a few gyms there, did CrossFit. I did, I've done the boot camp style workouts. I've done something, the things that are more tailored to individuals, group training. And then from the Bay Area, obviously I moved to Los Angeles and voila.
Is that where you are now, in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Okay, so after the show, I'm gonna call you and then we're gonna do some boot camps and some training and stuff
Yes, indeed.
Because I listened to Ben. Ben said, we have to get moving and I haven't been doing a lot of movement. That's because I need somebody to yell. And like, don't stop, Like, keep going.
Yes,
because if not, you'll see me sitting down. I'll be sitting down, relaxing and chilling. I told you, that's what we do out here. We chill. But your story is interesting because it reminds me of my cousin. She moved from Virginia in July of last year. She like basically the same thing, with nothing but a hope and a dream. She wanted to increase her business. She had plenty of business in Virginia with her pastry company, Eat Desserts.
Cool.
But then she decided to move to to California to expand. But for the first probably 6-7 months she was here, I was like, are you going to go back? Are you going to go back? You haven't got your business off the ground. She's like, nope, I'm staying. So I just left her alone. She's still here. She's wonderful. She's getting, you know, comfortable. So I definitely see it, but we're going to come do some exercise. But what's interesting to me about you, Vincent, is that you are so similar in a way to Ben. Like, everything you just mentioned, I didn't even see on your resume. I'm like, you're talking about being a writer, being an actor. And then now you're like, I'm a lifetime mover as well.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And to Ben's point, it is very important to move. You know, I take it very seriously to wake up and get started with some sort of movement, 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour of just either strength training, cardio, even taking a morning walk. It will allow you to clear your thoughts. It gets certain hormones going up in your body, and it's just good for energy wise, you know, and to Ben's point, the creativity, you know, I think that that's a very significant portion of it. So yeah, it's very important. I wish and encourage all of us to, you know, find something that you enjoy, whether it be a bike ride, dancing. You can do multiple things.
We are definitely going to go dancing. And so now that we've discussed all the exercise and the movement, I'm definitely going to come back to you because we have to find out more about your resume. But I want to bring our next guest in, who has been sitting so patiently, Mr. Lamont Patterson, who has been in the entertainment industry for over 60 years. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I was just sitting here wondering how come everybody have a coffee cup and I haven't seen yours yet or mine.
I don't even, Vincent, does he have a coffee cup?
Well, I seen Ben and I seen the doctors, but I don't think, I don't know if I seen Ben's yet, but I'm sure he got one hidden somewhere.
Lamont, come on, you started off causing trouble. I don't have a coffee cup because I don't drink coffee, but if I had a coffee cup, I would have made sure I brought two, one for me and one for you, because they already
okay. Well, I haven't started no trouble yet, because I sure wanted to ask Ben when he was on the dairy doing his soccer thing, was he running around trying to kick cows?
No, we kicked the cows first and then we went to soccer practice.
Oh, okay, I see. So now we see what's really happening.
No cows were harmed.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help that one, but I was sitting here with that image.
You just had to get it out.
I had to get it out.
So how have you been in the entertainment industry for over 60 years and you're, what, 30, 35?
Oh, shoot, I wish, man. I don't want to date myself, boy, but I hit that big other age last March, that big 7-0, and it's scary.
Oh, wow. You know, when in March?
The 19th.
Oh, okay. I'm just interested. Mine is the 31st. I just love people in March.
Oh, yeah, because we're such fantastic people.
That we are.
Wait a minute. I got to see if I can reach back and do that.
I do that all the time. If you ever watch my shows, which I'm sure you do, I'm like, that was a good question, Sharifa. That was a good question.
See? It's such creative, down-to-earth people.
So how did you initially get into the entertainment industry?
Well, the little country town that I came from, it was crazy because we only had three choices. It was either play sports, play music, or pick cotton. That was it.
I know picking cotton was right there at the bottom of your list.
Oh, totally. So the other two I was kind of okay with because my dad played baseball. My aunt was a matriarch in church. You know, she played keyboard. So, you know, every Sunday we was in church, you know, singing, doing the other things, you know. So I don't know. I guess that's when the bug hit me. Mm-hmm. And when I was moved to California, it was just so many other things going on musically. And I got stuck with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I quit every day and I start back the next day.
Did you do comedy, Lamont? Do you do comedy? Like, do you just stand up?
Well, nowadays you really just have to laugh at something. You really do. You just really do. You just have to laugh at something.
Okay, don't laugh at me.
I'm curious, Lamont, where did you grow up? Because I've spent a little bit of time in the South and I know enough.
Texas.
Okay.
Texas, like this little country town called Bonham, Texas, and Fannin County.
Did you have more than 19 people in your graduating class?
Well, I actually came to California to finish school because it was definitely more opportunities here. And that's the story that my family told me is the reason that they brought me out here, because they didn't want me to be stuck in that little thing. And it's still a dry county right today. You know, you still have to drive to Dallas or Fort Worth just to buy alcohol. So you can imagine how that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of sobriety. So tell us about some of your projects. What have you been working on, number one? And what has been the transition in the last 3 or 4 months for you? Because one of the things that I have noticed is that people within the entertainment industry are the ones that have been hit the hardest by the economy and by COVID-19's quarantine.
Oh, especially now since, I got information from SAG the other day where they thinking about having actors come back to work, but they want us to sign a waiver. Think about that one.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, first of all, this waiver thing is kind of different. We sign a waiver to say that if we get sick, it's kind of like on us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now health of the economy. So how you decide which one's more important, but I'm going to choose the health side of it.
And stay home.
And then I was trying to figure out, okay, well, walking around trying to film a movie with a mask on. So how's actors going to do that? How are they going to do the whole social distancing thing? So that's a different thing too. So I'm trying to figure out how they're going to work that thing out. Mm-hmm. But, standing home in this quarantine thing is giving you a lot of self time to think about everything that you've done, everything that you want to do. And it's giving you that quiet time, to self-reflect on all of the things.
I agree.
So if you got any type of creative bones in your body, oh boy, they kicking you in the behind right about now, because your mind is all over the place. So, I'm going back and forth from, the music side of me, the acting side of me, and my podcast. And, it's just a creative thing all the way around, So I put on a different hat every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about your podcast.
Well, I have two podcasts. I do one on the music industry every Wednesday that I've been doing for the past 14 plus years, where I interview different up and coming artists, different celebrities, producers, managers, anything that's associated with the entertainment industry, pretty much. And then on Sundays, I flip my hat, put on the other hat, and I jump into social events, current events, where we interview different writers, and then we talk about things that's going on. I deal with a lot of different relationship type things with relationship coaches or different stuff like that. So I'm all over the place.
But I like all over the place.
Yeah, but both of the shows are actually self-help type shows where, the guests that I have on the show, such as yourself, that have something to contribute to someone else or the listeners, hopefully.
So I can be on the show?
Absolutely. Hopefully, to help other people to, navigate through this thing we call life.
Yes, I'm interested. I love being on shows. That's why I do this entire show, just so I can find new shows to be on. And see, Ben didn't offer me a seat on his podcast. So I'm not going to hold that against Ben.
Well, I offer you two for Ben. How's that?
that works for me.
How about you? You work out with Vincent for 6 months. We'll have you both on.
Do we have to record it?
Well, we record it, but we do slight editing.
Okay, well, can you do slight photoshopping or something? Make me look like I'd have lost about 50 pounds before and after?
I was just finna ask that. Why does she have to work out to be on your show?
That's what his show is about. It's about exercise. It's about movement.
I know, but before you can be on the show, you got to do it.
So she can talk about the before and after, you know, movement is a movement is a lifestyle.
Clean it up, Ben. Fix it, Ben. Clean it up.
Leave Ben alone, Lamont.
You're making me scramble, Lamont.
Okay.
I like Lamont. Lamont was like, I got you, girl. I got you.
Yeah.
Well, the word moving is up to interpretation of oneself. So
what do you recommend, Dr. Ashley?
Well, moving, if you just move, like literally just, you know, from one place to the other, that's called moving.
But you know what? Many people don't even do that. And I think you've raised a great point. So much when you talk about movement in the field, like Vincent and I are in, people think if I don't go to the gym or if I don't say I'm doing 30 minutes or 45 minutes, they're not doing it. You know what? If you go out and you go to the playground with your daughter after the self-quarantine is over and you play with her, that's movement.
Absolutely.
And you know, people forget about that because people think, well, I didn't work out today. Yeah, but you spent 3 hours at Disneyland with your daughter walking around.
Right.
The funny thing is, we literally have started doing that. So my husband, my daughter, and I, we play tag in the evening. And it's called hide and seek tag. So it's like she gets entertained and we actually get exercises. She tires us out.
And I would imagine you and your husband get entertained too, because it's fun to move like that, where you're not saying keep working, you know, get your heart rate up, you know, do 10 more. It's like, this is fun because you're just out interacting with somebody that you love
and not thinking about it.
The thing is, we started since the quarantine, like no exercise, no going out. So we said, okay, we're going to start doing like the HIIT training. It's like just a 10 minute thing. And we religiously started doing that for about a couple weeks. And after that, you know, she got bored because, you know, the HIIT workouts are not meant for children. It's supposed to be for kids, but nevertheless. And then we incorporated this tag and hide and seek and, you know, all of these active games. And after that, she's like, can we not do the exercise today? We're like, honey, we're done.
And that's what Vincent said a few minutes ago. He said, find something that you love. So now what you've done with her, she doesn't associate exercise bad, hard. She associates exercise as fun. Exercise is playing with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it just moves me. One of the things that I know is that I take a lot of calls, a lot of conference calls, but I pace when I'm on the call. So I walk up and down. Then one day I noticed I was on this long call and then my little notification went off and it was like, Sharifa, you've achieved your steps for the day. And I'm like, I didn't even leave the house. I was just in the house on a call. But it was actually, I was walking up and down, which gave me some credit for movement. So I love that. And I heard something that Vincent said that he thought I didn't hear, but I'm going to go back to him. Vincent said he'll have me down 50 pounds in 2 weeks. I heard that, Vincent.
Okay, I'll scale it back a little bit. But
thank you. I was scared.
Now, 20 pounds in, let's say, 30 days, we can make that somewhat close to happening, but it's going to take a lot of work.
We don't know. Then we need to maybe go back to Ben 6 months then, because I don't want to do all that work. I told you, I chill, I relax, I enjoy my life. That's what I do. I'd be out here though with you for the first day and you'd be like, Sharif is working hard, and then tomorrow you're gonna call me and you're gonna get the voicemail because I'm like, I'm not doing that. But Vincent, you're a writer. I want to talk a little bit more about that, because we might be able to get you on Lamont's show, okay?
Okay, and I'll be all for it.
Okay, so talk to us. What are you writing? What have you written? Tell us about you're an author. Tell us about your book.
Yes, The Elite Way is a series. It's a series about four fighters who come to a fight tournament, and each of them, they got there with the intention of gaining something for their personal gain. You know, it's a big prize. Now, without giving too many details, there's a freak disaster that occurs at the tournament. Mm-hmm. And they discover that they are no longer at the tournament and they're no longer fighting for this personal gain. They learn that they now have been summoned by some outside universal force that wants them to basically come together and be like a universe defense team. And these four strangers who never, you know, met each other, never been, you know, crossed paths these four strangers now have to put aside their differences, their inner demons, their, you know, the things that just make them individuals, and now come together as a team. And it shows the pitfalls of, you know, the inner conflicts of a group, and how, you know, one group can be pushing towards a goal, but at the same time, you can also have inner workings within the group that could either slow you down from the objective or not. And it's also talking about, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, and which I think is very important nowadays, because, you know, especially for young adults, this is a unfamiliar time. And I know that a lot of them, with, you know, going back to school, or if they are going to go back to school, or are they going to be doing homeschool? So it just shows that, you know, it shows that for, on their end, somebody else who was basically going through something similar as them, which is, you know, having to become comfortable with the fact of being God knows how many years away from Earth, and having to fight for some universal purpose now.
That was deep. I mean, do you have a degree in psychology?
No.
I'm just saying, because that was really interesting, because if I understood you correctly, you take four people who don't know each other, they're four strangers, and basically they just want to be in it for personal reasons and for personal gains, but wind up, if I kind of hear you, trying to save the world. Like, this is one of those, the world is going to be destroyed. We're the only four people who can save it.
Yes, essentially.
But they have to work together. And it's not always hard, I mean, easy for people to work together, because people have their own agendas. They have their own vision. They have their own idea of what saving the world looks like, you know? Right.
And you can be in it together, but then, like you said, we all have our own goals. So we can be in it together, but then once we get to this fork in the road, my path or goal may be heading this way, your path may be heading this way. So then there's going to be friction. So it's either, am I going to come with you? Mm-hmm. Are you coming with me? Or are we just going to split up? Mm-hmm. And if there's, you know, in a team situation, you can't do that. So everyone's going to have to be on one accord. But human nature has, so that's not always the case.
Yes, because in my life, I haven't had that example of, you know, coming to the fork of the road. But what I usually find, this is the example that I give, because I'm a mover, I'm a shaker, I'm out there going, I'm doing things, I'm making things happen. And I always meet people who are like, Sharifa, yeah, we want to be a part of your team, we want to go. And I'm like, okay. But what I usually find is that I start off, like if we were to compare this to a race, I start off at the beginning with 10 people, and then I don't focus on those 10 people. I just run the race. And then I'm like, yeah, we're doing it, we're making it. And I get to the finish line, I look around, I'm like, where'd everybody go?
Stragglers. You have stragglers, yes.
Where is everyone? You know what I mean? So that's what I kind of find. Where can people find your book?
Yes, they can go to www.theeliteweightseries.com. Again, that's theeliteweightseries.com. And also all other book platforms such as Amazon, Apple Books, Kobo, and things of that nature.
Okay, so Lamont, did I ask enough questions?
Yeah, and I want to know if those people that in his books were Democrats or Republicans.
Democrats or Republicans.
You have to buy the book to find out.
Thanks for that, Ben.
Good save. Any other questions to get this young man on your show, Lamont?
No, he's good. Make sure you give him my information.
Okay, well, we need to book you again from this one gig, Ben.
I would love to chop it up with Lamont. And I would like to know, because there's a couple of things that I want to work on in the future, and I would love to know, you know, what type of music do you specialize in, Lamont?
Well, actually, my company is not genre specific, because over the years I found out there's good and bad everything. And then you just got to know what is good and what is bad, because music is an international language.
Right.
That's one thing that I know, that you could elicit emotions all over this globe.
Yes.
So I try to stay away from, you know, I'm just R&B. Well, I'm just pop. I'm just, you know, jazz, because I've worked with people in all those different genres. So
yeah,
I feel like good music is good music.
Absolutely. And do you go off of a certain feel? Like, does it have, do you have to be in a certain vibe or mood? Like, what determines what you're going to work on, or what do you feel comfortable going into?
Well, I guess it is a vibe and a feel. And again, you know, from, you know, the old school when we had to really play music, we didn't have the digital tools that you have today. So we just had to play. We used to have to learn music, you know, had to learn how to read music. You know, we had to learn how to sing. We had to learn how to harmonize. So I just know music, and if it feels good, and it feels good to the soul, you know what I mean? People are gonna gravitate to that, you know. And if it does not feel good, it doesn't matter what the lyrics are saying, because people are not gonna pay attention to it anyway.
Right. One more question for you, Lamar. Like, what do you feel about the state of music today? With the, you know, you talk about it elicits so many different emotions, and I'm very keen on frequencies and how, you know, certain music can elicit, you know, different emotions. They could be either positive or negative. You know, you can be listening to something and it makes you want to go hug your woman. And then you could be going, you know, or you could be listening to something that makes you want to go out on the street and just tear something up. So, like,
I don't know. Vincent.
I don't know.
Look, I don't know if the music has resonated me to the point that made me want to do any of those things. But I don't know, with the advent of the internet, you know, I was listening to Sharifa when she built her first website. I think I had one of the first computers when they came out, and I think I had a website when there was a thing called websites. So, you know, coming from the old school, you know, when it took us like 2 weeks, you know, to get some vinyl, you know, across the pond versus when you can do it now in less than 30 seconds, you know. And I think, you know, there's a, you know, there's a positive of that, and then there's a negative of that, because nowadays, if you look at the internet, there's so much music out there.
Right.
It's just so much. And for an artist that's just trying to come up in the game, how are you going to get heard? You know, because the A&R departments, you know, they can't go to all the clubs like they used to in the back of the days. So nowadays, you know, you actually judge by the number of hits that you have or the number of views that you have. And then how do you navigate that without actually having a team to do all your social networking? You know what
right.
I mean?
So right.
there's a lot of great, great, great artists that fall through the crack because, one, they may not be, you know, computer lit. You know what I mean? They don't have the finances to have this big team to handle all the social networking. So, you know, some of those fall through the crack, you know what I mean? And to me, that's a shame, because there's a lot of great artists out there that really don't get heard, you know, and people's attention span is so limited.
So small, yes.
So limited, you know, I mean, if you don't listen to somebody, how are you going to really know what they got to offer? And a lot of times they don't put out their best work. They put out their best work that they think is their best work, but that might not be their best song. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever gets the chance to hear the next song. And I think go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
I have a question just listening to you with your experience that I want to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You've got 60 years in the industry. I'm curious, if somebody came to you and said you only have 5 albums that you can listen to for the rest of your life, what would they be?
Comedy.
Which one?
Okay. Which one? Which artists? Five specific albums. I'm curious.
Oh man, I probably know the albums, but I probably could tell you the artists. I'm a great fan of, you know, like I said, some of the 50s group, like the OJs, which, you know, I've worked with them over the years off and on. The Dramatics. Of course, the Miracles, and some of the late great Temptations. Dennis Edwards, which was a great friend of mine. Just some of those old school artists, like I said, the singers, and I'm not talking about the studio produced kind, because you have a lot of artists today that go in the studio and stay in there forever with 90 different tracks, you know, and then you got the old school artists that didn't have all the technical stuff, that was just great artists, great singers, great vocalists.
You appreciate musicians and not the technology that makes people sound like good musicians.
Oh, absolutely. And I talk about that sometime on my show as well, too, because, you know, I like to hear the fingers running on the guitar strings. I like to hear singers taking that breath. You know, to me, digital music is like a hospital. It's too sterilized a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And then you hear a lot of these young producers, you know, they're working on digital equipment. They go get these effects that make it sound like a 24-track tape. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we didn't have that. We just had what we had, you know, and people say, well, how do you mix a song? And I tell them, well, you know, after you finish mixing the song, go get the cheapest radio you could find. And I mean the absolutely cheapest radio you can find. And if your mix sound good on that cheap radio, you know you're close.
Right. I think that's wonderful. I think I want to just real quick go back to Dr. Ashy, because I wanted the time to ask you more questions about your business, but specifically about food-based STEM education, because that's what your company, STEM Chef, is based on, STEM foods. Can you tell us briefly a little bit about that, Dr. Ashy?
Sure. So currently, STEM Chef is actually manifested as an escape room. So what that means is there is an entire science curriculum fitted into an escape room. Ooh. The children solve puzzles and they discover different clues towards a science concept. And they use all of those new learnings and this new acquired knowledge to make a recipe. Mm-hmm. It all sort of culminates in a very tasty treat. So far it's just been some sort of a rendition of a dessert, a very simple dessert. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, you find scientific concepts or any science-related knowledge in any item of food you pick up. And it really depends on your interpretation of how you want to explain it. So you take a cookie, you take a cupcake, you have chemistry there, you have physics there, you have biology there. And then depending on whatever theme or whatever, you know, lesson I want to portray, I will pluck out one specific science concept and highlight that. So I'll give you an example of that. So making a cupcake, you know, baking always everybody associates with chemistry, which is like the easiest, you know, easiest connection that you can make. So you have acid-based chemistry when you make cupcakes. But if you think about like physical properties in physics, such as, you know, elements of density, for example, or solubility, there's so many angles that you can really derive from any little recipe you get. Mm-hmm. And the fun part is once children see that, they understand it with not just with their brains, but with their emotion. Mm-hmm. And that connection that you can make is just so powerful. It's really, really strong. So I kind of give webinars on this subject about how you can bring, you know, science into your kitchen. And we don't have time for all of that, but I'm going to kind of just bring your attention to this little clip of this movie called Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing most of you watched it. And you have the food critic who comes and sits in the restaurant, and this little rat is making ratatouille for him. And it's like the simple dish, and he brings it to the table and he takes a bite, and it shoots him into the past. He remembers the flavors. It literally transports him back into his mom's kitchen. And that is exactly how powerful food is. And so any tethers that you put to it with any learning is going to be sort of foundational in your brain, in your system. So, and you know, I think to the fact that Vincent and Ben mentioned about movement and how you can have a positive association with something that you have fun with. So like, you know, you do exercise, but if you're made to do this boring exercise, you hate it. But if you're doing it in a playful manner, you love it, right? You don't even think that you're exercising. It's pretty much the same here. The way you're sat in a classroom with books and like dry information, you hate it. And you're sort of made to test. You're learning towards a test. And that's exactly how the education system works pretty much all over the world. And that's not the best way of learning. It's really, that's not learning.
Getting hands-on.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? So it is a lot of fun. I definitely can tell.
And then once you kind of bring in this fun gamification aspect to it, it's just like the decibel level. So I actually run a physical escape room. Of course, COVID, as you can imagine, has dampened all of that. I've transitioned to an online one. But when I did,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So each escape room is like a science lesson. The physical escape room that I used to run, there would be about 8 to 10, max 12 kids in there. The decibel level used to be through the roof. It's like, oh my goodness, we need some soundproofing out here.
Yes, I can definitely imagine. It must have been very fun. Now, I want to learn more, and that's one of the reasons I would love to invite all of you to come back to the Roundtable Talk Show. I know we can talk about so many more things and expand further. Right now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is listening live, as well as everyone who is watching the show in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Lamont.
Okay, everybody, first of all, let me say stay safe, practice social distancing, and keep that mask on. And also, you can hear my shows on blogtalkradio.com/indieis. That's for the music program, and also blogtalkradio.com/player for the relationship shows for the authors, writers, people that have something interesting to share with mankind, and hopefully it's something positive, and then we could let the world put the ears on your message. And that's my
I love sense. It. I love it. So I'm going to be on the players show with all the players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk about them relationships. Boy, I'd love to have a woman's voice on there, because it was actually a show designed for helping men so we can stop doing dumb things out there. But we also love to have women come on there to talk about what we should or should not do.
Oh, well, look, I need to be on that show. I've been divorced twice, so I got a list of the things you should not be doing.
You sound like a cousin of mine. He's been married 7 times and divorced.
Me too, not 7. That's some Elizabeth Taylor type numbers. I'm not there yet. Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, we've got 2 podcasts. We've got FitLab PGH and Moving to Live, but the best way for your listeners and viewers is on Instagram at FITLABPGH. And the reason I say that is because our local podcast, in addition to doing interviews 3 times a week, we do 1-minute movement tip and lifestyle hack videos, because our whole goal is to spread the word that movement is a lifestyle, not just an activity, because movement is part of what makes your life complete.
That's right. I love it. Dr. Ashy?
So I first of all want to mirror Lamont's feelings about staying safe, and the pandemic is not over yet. Please keep that in mind. You can definitely reach me and find me on my website at www.stemchef.com. And I really urge you to start having fun in the kitchen, learning as whatever you can. One thing I do want to mention is I'm going to be hosting a free children's fair or a carnival, virtual, of course, about the first weekend in August. This is essentially for all the kids out there who are suffering from cabin fever, adults as well. It's going to be a day of fun where you're going to have a lot of performers like magicians and science, mad scientists coming out, and other people who would be entertaining kids for a whole 12 hours. So my information soon. I wanted to do 24 hours, but I thought I'm not sure who I can have organized for the rest of the 12 hours, and I can definitely not go for 24 hours straight.
I think 12 is good. I mean, I've probably done about 4 hours if you ask me, but sometime around 3 a.m. I think that's a different hour than the kids need to be exposed to. So I definitely would focus on the 12 hours. I think that's wonderful. Come back on the show. We definitely want to talk more about it before August. Vincent, what do you have for us?
I just want to say to everybody, be blessed. Many blessings to everyone. Man, spreading love to you guys. Be focused. This is the time that you can do whatever it is that you truly want to do. If there's something that you've been wanting to work on, start it now. Any aspiring authors out there, you can contact me at thevaultpublishing.com. I'm already helping a few authors now with their, I'm helping one with the children's book and another crime thriller. So if you have this amazing story, but you just need some help in how to get it out, or you need help with, you have a book done and you just need help with all the logistics of, you know, actually putting out a book, getting your CIP data and all that good stuff, then you can also contact me. As far as for the Elite Way series, you can follow that on Instagram at the Elite Way series. And you can also follow me on Instagram at mecca.company. As far as the Elite Way series goes, volume one is starting to, you know, definitely build up some good reviews and good steam. And we will be releasing volume two later this year in the fall. Nothing happened, Lord willing. So
it's, that's right.
Yes, indeed. Very exciting times.
I love it. That's right. But you have to come back as well. When you come out with volume two, we want you here at the round table, or come on Ash Sharifa Videocast, whatever works best for you. And we'll talk about your book. I want to thank all of you for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. My audience, especially, I want to thank you for tuning in to watch the show, whether you watched it live or you watched it in the archive. I definitely appreciate you. But please go ahead and check out our guests today. Visit their websites, follow them on social media. And when you tweet them, text them, comment, whatever you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. If you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, TGIF's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Ask Sharifa.